بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا من فضلك علما وتعليما إنك على كل شيء قدير وبعد الحمد لله. We continue in our study of Fada'il al-Qur'an, the virtues of the Qur'an, this month of Ramadan. And tonight, inshallah, we're just looking at five or so virtues of the Qur'an in no particular order. So as you see, sometimes we have a theme, other times we don't have a theme. But regardless, all of the nights cover the central theme of the virtues of the Qur'an. So the first virtue we cover tonight is concerning the fact that the reciter of the Qur'an has a special favor they receive from Allah Ta'ala in that they will not suffer from al-faza'ul akbar, or the great terror that occurs on the Day of Judgment. Al-faza'ul akbar describes the great feeling of dread and fear and terror that will strike the hearts of many people on the Day of Judgment. And we have a hadith recorded by Imam al-Tabarani, which shows us that among those people who will not experience that are the people of the Qur'an. And this hadith is coming from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, who relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three types of people who will neither suffer from the greatest terror on the Day of Judgment, nor face reckoning, and they will be seated upon hills of musk until reckoning is taken from creation. Number one, he says, a person who recites the Qur'an seeking the countenance of Allah, seeking Allah's pleasure, and who leads the people in prayer while they are satisfied with him. Number two, the mu'adhin, the caller to prayer, who summons to the prayers while seeking the pleasure of Allah. And number three, a servant who commits himself to excellence in those matters between him and his Lord, and in those matters between him and his masters. So, two points here. The first one mentions the one who recites the Qur'an seeking only the pleasure of Allah and who leads people in prayer while they are satisfied with him. Meaning, it's not a person that forced themselves into that position, as sometimes happens in masajid where there's no Imam Ratib. Sometimes you see that. Someone goes forward and others don't want them to go forward. Or the one who wants to go forward will say, you go forward, and then they step forward because they want to do it and the others don't. So, no. One of the important aspects of imama is that the imam should be one that the people are satisfied praying behind. That's point number one. Point number two is in the third person, the servant who commits himself to excellence in those matters between him and his Lord, and in those matters between him and his masters. What this means is, this is referring to the slave. In a time when slavery was the norm, when that was a social phenomena, of course, this person would be in a state of servitude, but they have ihsan in between them and Allah, and excellence in how they are with their master. The operative, or the shahid here, is the first part of this hadith. The other virtue of the Qur'an is the fact that it will intercede for its people on the Day of Judgment. We have the hadith recorded by Imam Muslim from Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, who says, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, recite the Qur'an, for on the Day of Rising it shall come as an intercessor for its people. Shafi'an bi ashabi. So the Qur'an intercedes for the people who were committed to it. We have also the hadith of Jabir recorded by Ibn Hibban. He relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Qur'an is an intercession whose intercession shall be accepted. It is an advocate whose advocacy is accepted. Whoever takes it as a leader, an imam, shall be led by it to Jannah, and whoever puts it behind him will be driven to hell. And we read the longer version of this hadith a few days ago. Now the ulama talk about these narrations, and they say that the shafa'a, or intercession of the Qur'an on the Day of Judgment for its people, can take on a variety of forms. It can intercede for the forgiveness of the sins of the person who recited it in this life, or it can intercede for that person to take a higher degree in paradise that they would have otherwise had, or it can intercede for them to be given additional honors in Jannah. It can even intercede in them getting out of hell if they were a person of major sins and whose sins were not forgiven except through that. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he relates in a hadith that is very important, and this is a bit of a challenge for all of us. Abu Hurairah reports a hadith. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, there is a chapter from the Qur'an that consists of 30 verses that will intercede for a person until Allah forgives him. And they are, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. What chapter is that from? Surah Al-Mulk. Right? Surah Mulk. Blessed in He is whose hands is the dominion. So Surah Al-Mulk is a very special chapter of the Qur'an, in that one who memorizes it will have it as, it will be a means of intercession for them on the Day of Judgment. In another narration, it mentions that that person who memorizes Surah Al-Mulk will be safe from Adab Al-Qabr. Okay, so we know these narrations now. What is the difference between information and knowledge? This hadith teaches us, or the narration connected to this hadith teaches us the difference between information and knowledge. We know this hadith. We have information about this hadith. But the difference between information and knowledge is actually implementing it. We have another riwayah of this hadith where Abu Hurairah or another rawi mentions that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what he said about Surah Al-Mulk, they said not a single one of us went to sleep that night until we memorized all of Surah Al-Mulk. So if you hear the hadith, you now have information. If you take the hadith and commit to memorizing it because you seek that protection, you're implementing the hadith, now you have knowledge. That's the operative difference. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu also relates in a hadith recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person of the Quran will come on the Day of Judgment and the Quran will say, O my Lord, release him, whereupon he will be conferred with a crown of honor. The Quran will say, O my Lord, increase him more, whereupon he will be honored with a raiment of honor, a garment of honor. Then the Quran will say, O my Lord, be pleased with him, and Allah will be pleased with him. This is recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi. In another narration from Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, fasting and the Quran shall intercede for the servant on the Day of Judgment. These two. Fasting will say, my Lord, I prevented him from food and drink in the day, so allow me to intercede for him. And the Quran will say, my Lord, I prevented him from sleep in the night, so allow me to intercede for him. And as such, they will intercede. So the implication of this hadith is that the person who memorizes the Quran is reciting it in the night. So whether or not a person is a hafiz, if they're memorizing the Quran, the best time to review that is when they're praying at night. Whether they're praying it after Isha and then going to sleep, or whether they're going to bed and then getting up and praying before Fajr, either way, they're reciting the Quran, what they've memorized in the night, and in that way, it does deprive them of some sleep. Even if it's only 5 minutes, it's still depriving them of those 5 minutes because they got up on purpose to recite the Quran, or they stayed awake longer in the night to recite it before going to bed. Umm Darda radiallahu anha, she relates in a hadith recorded by Abu Ubaid ibn Qasim ibn Saddam in his work on Fada'il al-Qur'an, the earliest work in this genre. She relates, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the one who enters paradise, who used to recite the Qur'an, and what superiority they have over the one who did not memorize it. She replied, the number of levels in paradise are equal to the number of verses in the Qur'an. So anyone who enters paradise among those who recited the Qur'an will not have anyone above him. So the Hafiz, who truly preserves the Qur'an in memorizing it and living it, for every verse there's a level. So if they recite the entire Qur'an, there's no level above them. They're in the highest reaches of Jannah. So these narrations, they imply that they're going to continue reciting the Qur'an and ascending level by level and higher by higher and higher in the gardens of paradise. That's the third virtue. The fourth virtue we look at tonight is the fact that the angels protect and safeguard the person who recites the Qur'an. And this is from a hadith recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan from Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's not a single Muslim who retires to his bed and recites a chapter from the Book of Allah except that Allah entrusts to him an angel so that nothing harmful can come near him until he wakes up, whenever he wakes up. This hadith does not describe what chapter it is. It could be the three quls, in which case it's three chapters. It could be something else. It could be Ayatul Kursi. It doesn't even say a surah. It just says something of the Qur'an. So reciting the Qur'an before going to sleep is a means of having an angel, a safeguarding, you could say guardian angel, right? Looking after you, protecting you through the night as you sleep. We have the next virtue, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special love, mahabba, for those who recite the Qur'an at night. And this is from a hadith recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three types of people whom Allah loves. Number one, a person who stands in prayer at night reciting the Book of Allah. Number two, a person who gives charity with his right hand while concealing it from his left hand. He's giving sincerely and without obsessing over how much it is. And number three, a person who is on an expedition, a ghazwa, and who faces the enemy after his compatriots have been defeated. So in the third example, this is a person who's in battle and all of his compatriots, all of his fellow soldiers have fallen in battle and he's the last one standing, but he still presses forward. So these three are specially beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are just five of the virtues, of the many virtues we've been covering. And inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we will be looking at about four or five other miscellaneous virtues connected to the Qur'an. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.